All right. Good to see you guys. I hope wherever you were before was helpful to you. And of course, I pray that this will be too. I'm going to jump right into it because I went over last time. And so we're going to try to power through. You may get your pens ready if you're a note taker. Three things. We're going to go through the why, what, and the how of family devotions. Why are family devotions important? What is the goal of family devotions? And how should you structure those times together? So first, why are family devotions important? For that, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 127. And this is something that I kind of referenced during the Q&A. Psalm 127, and I'll just read it quickly for us. The whole psalm is five verses, but if we look, there's a lot kind of going on, and Solomon is writing quite a bit here. But if we look at verses 3-5, we see that this is where you find actually a kind of famous passage that you might recognize. It says in verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior and are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." There's a lot going on in this passage, but the main thing here is children are a gift from the Lord. And so then, so if we've established that children are a gift from the Lord, even when they're smelly and they have an explosive diaper situation, they are a gift from the Lord. Then you go to Deuteronomy 6, which is where Jay took us during the Q&A, and you say, okay, children are a gift from the Lord, so what do we do with that gift? That's where Deuteronomy 6 comes in. And if we start in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6, this is again a passage that you know well. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Bottom line here is, if children are a gift from the Lord, your goal is to introduce them to Him. That is the definition of parenting. That is the biblical definition of parenting. You should see your children as a gift, not ownership, stewardship, right? A gift. And you should see your role as introducing them to the giver, the one who gave them to you. So if that is the goal of being a parent, then what does that look like? And the rest of Deuteronomy 6 says, well, so you should teach them diligently, which means with purpose, right? Taking every opportunity. What are those opportunities? Verses 7-9 give you all the opportunities. It's when you're sitting in the house. It's when you're walking by the way. It's when you lie down. It's when you rise. It's basically all the time you're taking opportunities to introduce your children. And so when you, so let's kind of play that out. So you have a kid who wants to run into the street, and you're like, okay, this is dangerous. We're going to discipline. We're going to talk about it. You know, obeying. We're going to talk about obeying. And so you're going to bring some scripture into what does it mean to obey? Well, when you're talking about it in a situation like that, it's really helpful if you can go back to something you've already established as a family. And so family devotions, what they do is they create a baseline of understanding who God is, how your family worships Him, what your faith looks like, so that as you do those by the way and when you rise and when you wake and around the dinner table, like as those conversations, those real-time moments of parenting proceed, you have something substantial to go back to, like we talked about, right? Here's the way I look at it, is when we were in high school, college, you took a science class, say chemistry. And chemistry had a lecture and a lab, right? Anyone remember? And you had to sometimes register for the lab separately. What if you only did the lab and you walked in and there was like these points that you had to go by to do the experiment, but you missed the lecture? Well, you're missing the why. And that's the same thing as if you're not doing kind of a foundational moment of opening up God's word together as a family, then those real-time moments feel more like just a following the rules. That's kind of where you might say that's where behavior modification or legalism could be born, because you're not connecting it back to the why. Now, there are other places for them to get the why. Sunday school, maybe a catechism at their private school, whatever it might be. There are other places to get the why, but the bottom line is it would be foolish to send students into a lab without the lecture. It's foolish to think that things that you're going to say about God, obeying God, are going to land if you haven't had that time to establish what you believe as a family as you open God's word together. And more importantly, Sunday school and private school or homeschool Bible curriculum don't give you the opportunity, especially dads, to open scripture with your kids, to hear your voice speak God's word. And so what makes family devotions particularly important in obeying that Deuteronomy 6 command is that you are teaching them diligently. So that's why they're important. So then if that's the importance, then the goal, let's first talk about what's not the goal. The goal is not to impress your wife with your Bible knowledge. It's not to perfect an expositional sermon. There should not be 3 points, and they do not need to alliterate. And it's not to force a conversation. I think this is really important. A conversation about something you want to address about your kid's behavior. Like, oh, I know what we're going to do in family devotion today after that mouth, right? Like, that's not the purpose. That's the more real time. That's the lab work. What you're doing is more foundational. It's establishing who God is, who you are before God, those sorts of things. That's the point. And so the goal of a family devotional is really threefold. It's to open scripture together. It's to discuss it at their level and to reinforce a truth about God. So to open scripture together, it means it needs to be connected to the Bible. This is not a time to bring your Christian novel series. That's great. Reading with your kids is so awesome. Please do it. Don't call it Bible time or family devotional. That's a different thing. That should be at a different time even. We've read countless books as a family. We love it. We have a whole bookshelf full of it. But you don't need to do that, should not do that and call it devotional time, because it's not going to lend itself to the next thing, which is opening up God's word to understand spiritual truths, right? So opening up scripture together, discussing it at their level, let's remember that younger kids only have about a 30-second attention span. And so you shouldn't expect more. And that also means that the lowest common denominator is your youngest kid. So, which is fine, because your 7-year-old should know how to be self-controlled so that your 3-year-old can understand what's going on in family devotional. That's fine. But the other way around would be unfair, to make your 3-year-old sit through a 7-year-old family devotional. That would be my recommendation. And then you just grow it as your kids get older. And by the way, the younger kids in a family tend to mature quicker. So you'll get there. It'll catch up, and you'll be able to, and then maybe you keep the older kids for a little bit of time, and you spend a little bit more time with them as others go to bed, or you figure out how to kind of click into something that you talked about. We went from reading the big picture story Bible to a Bible with some longer Bible stories, to now just opening up our actual Bibles. But either way, you just want it to be connected to God's Word. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. That third thing, learning to learn something new or reinforcing a truth about God, the goal is not a systematic theology, right? When we do a really nice job of that in Sunday school here, so don't get wrapped up in, do they understand repentance? Do they understand? Those are important, but what you really want to make sure is they know who God is, that they can't get to him without a Savior. That you are establishing the need. That is the purpose of a family devotional. And so one essential truth about God every night, or focus on one essential truth about God for the whole week, awesome. That's what they need. So, reviewing the goals, you're opening scripture together, discussing it at their level, and reinforcing a truth about God. That also sounds a lot like what our devotionals should look like, our personal devotion. So, a byproduct of this is you're teaching them how to have their own personal time with God. You're showing them what that pattern looks like and what the elements of it should consist of. So now let's talk about, so that's kind of the goal. Let's talk very practically about how to structure that. First is the setup. Time should be focused. It shouldn't necessarily be new. If you're like, okay, we're not doing them now, how do we schedule that in? Maybe you just tack it onto something you're already doing. A meal, right? It shapes the mealtime conversation. We did it at bath time when we had two young ones who really wanted to spend a lot of time playing in the bathtub. So we'd open up a story, a Bible story, and then we'd pray, and they'd be taking a bath, and it's fine. That's a short-lived moment, but tack it onto something, but make it still very focused, right? Bedtime routine, I think, is the most natural because it's a time for quiet reflection, but we're in a season right now where not everyone goes to bed at the same time. Sometimes they're not even home at the same time, and so, but if you can, that's a great way to end their day thinking on the things of the Lord. So just an action item as a couple, have a discussion about this. You need to be on the same page on when you think your kids are ready to hear God's word. What's the best part of your day? Moms, you really need to have a voice in this because you know when your kids have had enough. You have a spiritual gift of figuring that out. And then when your kids are old enough, discuss it with them too. We just recently had a discussion with our kids about, okay, bedtime routine is kind of changing, so what do we want this to look like? And we landed on whenever we're home for dinner, that's when we're going to do our Bible time. So that's kind of the setup. The selection, so you need to select what you want to do. I think there are a lot of resources, probably too many to even list, but you can find Bibles that are for certain ages. And it's okay if you're reading a summary of a Bible story and calling it the Bible. That's not heresy. Right? And so because we all have Bibles that have different covers, right? So there are Bibles down in the bookstore that are just a children's Bible and it's just the New Testament or whatever. That's okay. What you want is you're opening a book, a physical book, by the way. Please don't have your iPad out. Like, open a physical book. Show them that we open God's Word and we have a moment looking at what it says and talking about it and praying through it. So there are a lot of options for you, there's a few in your conference manual. Eventually, you want to graduate to actually opening of a Bible that you would bring to church, and that could be when your kids are in middle school, moving toward they have a language proficiency, they can listen, maybe even those later elementary school years. But again, you want to go with the lowest common denominator. We started with Sermon on the Mount. It's a really practical way of working through some of the truths about Scripture. We called it the most famous sermon ever preached is what we would call it during Bible time, and just going through what Jesus preached on the Mount there. We're now going through Proverbs. We're just reading a proverb that associates with the date. So, like, you know, today's the 25th. We'll read Proverbs 25 tonight. And we just discuss what are some things that stood out. We've read now several times. We've read the Proverbs. And so what is something that stood out this time, a truth that Solomon has. And there's so much in the Proverbs. You could cycle that through that. We feel like we could do it for a year. And so just making sure that you have something that is reliable and Bible-focused would be important. Finally, the schedule. So you've got everything kind of planned out. What does this look like very easily? So three things: read, worship, pray. If your kids are three, it's read one Bible verse, worship, sing Jesus Loves Me, and then pray, thank you for loving me, even though I'm a sinner, right? Like that's it. It could be 3 or 4 minutes max, and it's totally fine. It's just getting in that rhythm of what you want that to look like. Worship looks different for our family because we did the little kids songs, but then we wanted to do more hymns, and we are not a musical family. If you stood next to me at church, you'd know that. Because none of us can really carry a tune. So we decided to read the hymns and just talk about how cool it is that we can have these hymns from 500 years ago and, you know, and what the truths are, and then we'd close in prayer. But you don't have to be rigid about that. And by the way, it's better to have a one-minute devotion a couple of times a week than 20 minutes once a month. So embrace some flexibility there. If the day's chaotic, it's okay. You can do that later in the week. Somebody's sick. I mean, things happen, right? I know what your homes probably look like on a weekly basis. That's okay. And sometimes it's fun if you can engage others. Whenever we have people over, our kids are excited to say, do you want to stay for Bible time with us? And when they were really little, they were like super excited. Now they're like, we do this thing called Bible time, you know, because they're like middle schoolers. But there's a sweetness about that because it's like, we want to show you something our family does that's special. Which is another reason why it's so much better to do that in a way that is predictable and helpful for your kids. I'm going to you got to get down to David, so I want to make sure you have time for that. But let me just land on Hebrews 13:7. Let's just go there really quick. If we think about, so what is your role in the life of your child? Hebrews 13:7 is often used when we're talking about church leaders. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And then it goes on to say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That doesn't start with their first Sunday school teacher, it starts with you. You are their leader. If you're a dad, you are leading their household. If you're a mom, you are modeling leadership over and over again to them. And so there is a bit of a weight attached to that you make sure that whatever you're communicating during Bible time, during a family devotion, is something that you are ready to live out in your own way of life, right? Sometimes I have repented of sin during Bible time. Sermon on the Mount was particularly convicting. There were things about anger. There were things about the way you pray. And I'm like, you guys, I don't do this perfectly. And what a sweet thing for them to be able to see. So make sure that when you're conveying this and when you're doing these lessons for your kids, you are also allowing the word to penetrate your own heart with where you need to change and grow. A couple of resources that I think that I want to leave you with. I mentioned the Big Picture Family, the Big Picture Story Bible, or the Big Picture Family Devotional are fantastic. They're really easy reads. Goes up to probably about probably about 6 or 7 years old. I think it's in the bookstore, devotional called Listen Up by Marty Makowski. It's 10 minutes. They're 10 minutes about, and they're devotions on all of the parables. By the way, anything by Marty Makowski, I would recommend. He does a great job. There's a book called, I can't remember who wrote it, but Leading Little Ones to God, which is a great devotional. And then anything from Lithos Kids. I don't know if you guys know that publisher. Lithos Kids, it's all been written by a guy named Tyler Van Haltren. He was actually a member of our high school volunteer staff when he was here at seminary. He's from Canada. He's rewritten a children's version of Pilgrim's Progress and a number of devotionals that would just be fantastic for you to open up with your kids. So let me pray for us. I will be here for a time, but I also want you to get to the third session. So I'm gonna pray, let you go, but happy to take your questions afterwards. Father, thank you so much for your kindness in giving us your word, for the authority of it, so that we know that we can open it up and say, this isn't from me. This isn't from me as a parent. This is me conveying the statutes of God, a holy, awesome God. We pray that the households represented here would have sweet times of fellowship as they consider what Bible time looks like for them. And most importantly, that the children of those households would be pointed to you and a saving faith because of those foundational principles that they learn from your word through their parents. Thanks, God, that you give us everything we need for this and for so much else that we must do as parents. I pray that we would see our children as a gift from you and that our aim would be to point them back to you, the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.